It's called the Science Podcast, a couple of atheists that run this podcast. So I thought you'd be interested to hear what they say. This is only one little bit, it's over half an hour, and I couldn't play you the whole thing because I'd have to have so many beeps in it bleeping out the expletives.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so... I don't even know.
It's
that is just
best...
everything.
It's the intro that we never could have made on our own.
Never,
right?
Ever. Like...
Never.
Here I was thinking, you know, for episode 50, I mean, which is in a couple of weeks, but, you know, for episode 50, we should, you know, just come up with something new, or I should, like, at least, like, you know, get, like, pay somebody to, like, revamp and get, like, a better, like, intro. Or not,
remix
not,
it.
Not that it's bad. Yeah.
No, but just, like, the remix.
Yeah. And
we don't need a remix.
No, because, like, just Ken just lobbed that over the plate for us. So if you don't know what we're talking about, the intro, we have a new intro now, thanks to one can I call him Kenny Ham?
I'm just gonna say, like, my boy Ken Ham.
Kenneth, my yeah boy Ken.
My boy Ken,
just
who I just want to talk to. Like, I've been tweeting at him for the entire past week, just like, notice me again. I was up on your screen. Notice me again. Like, I just want to talk to you without swearing. I just want to talk to you, Ken. And he hasn't replied yet.
No,
yet.
He hasn't.
Because I am, though, I'm going to be, I'm just going to be that, like, little bug by his ear. Like, Ken, talk to me. Talk to me. Like,
hey, kid.
Please.
Hey, Ken.
Can we be friends?
Ken.
Can we?
Ken.
Come talk about podcast. Please. Please.
and somebody made I've never really cared much for the online petition, but somebody...
We've had so many conversations. We hate online petitions, except when someone makes a petition for Ken to be at our show.
I mean, generally, I think, like, you and I both kind of hate all things, but if it involves us, because we're not narcissistic at all, but if it involves us, you know, I mean, we have a little bit more interest, a little bit more... a little more reason to give a shit.
Yeah, a little emotional wiggle room there. Like, I'll take it. I'll take a petition for us.
But yeah, so we have a petition going. I mean, it's not going to go anywhere because online petitions are futile. But, I mean, it's a thing that somebody made for us.
It's funny.
And if you have no idea what we're talking about, go back to last week's episode and listen to that. It's we cover it. Ken Ham literally just having almost a breakdown about how we're just awful people. And this is the only thing I take issue with from that. Like, I don't doubt that we are awful. Like, I know me. I've known me for like 33 years and change.
You're in that head. But, you live there. Yeah.
Right. Like, I live here. I'm around me all the time. But the issue I have is the inconsistency. He said there's so many beeps in it that he would have to bleep things out. So already we have a flip flop. It's either beep or bleep. You can't have both. It's one or the other. Make a commitment.
Yeah, well, the only commitment he's made
outrage
is to God, so, you know.
Right.
Yeah, all right. So we're going to have a new episode, and somebody sponsored it, and I'm going to tell the people.
Yeah, who's our sponsor?
All right. So tonight's episode of the Science Enthusiast Podcast is brought to you by Nordstrom's Barracuda straight-legged jeans.
You can't laugh. You know, you got one cut. You got one shot, one opportunity.
It doesn't matter, because when you want to pay $425
kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. For here, and I quote, Americana workwear that's seen some hardworking action.
But not really.
With a crackled, kicked-on muddy coating that shows you're not afraid to get down and dirty. But yet you are fucking afraid to get down and dirty because you've paid $425 for jeans without doing any of the work. No.
I saw it earlier and was like, oh, that's a thing. Is it like a thing where the mud, oh my God, those are really $425.
They really are.
Is it a thing where the mud, like, washes off the first time?
I don't think so. Or do you, like, I bet you dry clean
them. Or is
them.
It like a stain? You dry clean only jeans that are designed to look like they're muddy.
You know, these are the companion piece to the Clear Knee Mime jeans.
They're not even like the distressed looking jeans, which I actually don't mind and may or may not own a pair of. But these are, that looks like it's like wet mud.
yeah.
on this dude. I don't know that it's not, I guess. But like, who's
no?
First off, who like what kind of asshole is paying $400 for a pair of jeans? A, like if I pay more than 20 for a pair of jeans, I'm pissed at myself, more pissed at myself than I normally am. But
yeah,
I don't understand that. But I guess we should tell people about who we are. Hello, and thank you for listening to the Science Enthusiast Podcast. My name is Dan Broadbent, and as always, I'm joined by my brilliant friend, Natalie Newell. And then it says a few words that I assume a podcast terrorist wrote here, so we need to stop.
Oh.
We need to stop sharing our Google Doc with your boyfriend.
I'm done. That's the last time. So, God of the Week.
Take a good look because it's the last time you're going to see me.
That's the last time you're going to see this Google Doc with editing enabled.
You got to watch the YouTube video for that visual there. There wasn't a visual. But
yeah, from now on,
but you can't untease the tease, I guess.
You can't. No. All right, I'm going to tell about a God of the Week.
Do it.
Like I've just gotten kind of like a little bit lazy now, and I go to my God website, and I this is the second week in a row, I just went Deity of the Day, and it was, okay, all right, how would you pronounce this? It's A-C-A-T. Is it a cat?
I don't know that it's not.
Okay, so whatever. But anyways, what's important is this is the Mayan body art god. So like, we're just doing like a god of tattoos. And like, you know, I'm just never sharing the link to the Google Doc again because this is just, it's fucked up
No, don't.
No, I'm not doing it again. So last time, hope he enjoyed this. So anyways, the Mayans, I guess this is what I learned today, were super into tattoos. So they believed that if you had a tattoo like of a particular god on your body, that god's like godliness, like it transferred to you because of course it did. So yeah, so people got tattoos. Now, like when people, you know, got their tattoos, it of course wasn't a product of like the tattoo artist, the Mayan tattoo artist. There had to be a god that like blessed the, you know, again, I'm ignoring the Google Doc right now. I'm just talking from my memory because it's being terrorized as we speak. But so they created this god that would sort of oversee like the tattoo needles and the ink and the tattoo artists that so that they didn't like fuck up or something. So there's this god, right? But clearly this god does not oversee the decisions people currently make when getting tattoos, because if so, there would probably be a lot fewer like, is it okay to say tramp stamp? Is that acceptable? Or
I don't think that's disparaging anybody that doesn't already know that they deserve to be disparaged.
Okay, so a cat or a cot or whatever you are going to call him, like he obviously just maybe blesses the tattoo artists, but the tattooees just make their own bad drunken decisions. So, yeah.
No regrets.
Misspelled all over the place. But so this made me think, I want to link in our show notes, our friend of the show, Miles Power, did a really funny like blog post and video about chemistry tattoo fails, like where people would get molecules and get like, you know, stuff like that tattooed to their body, but obviously didn't check the design with a chemist. Because so he went through and just found all these bad chemistry tattoos and corrected them, like, you know, on like, you know, screenshots. And so he just kind of trolled these people's really bad, bad tattoos. So we will link to that because it's pretty funny. And so that got me thinking, you know, like people are fucking dumb sometimes. They get bad science tattoos. We need better science literacy. There was a March for Science this weekend. Oh, segue God to science.
That's a segue. The topic of our show.
It is. So I'm not even going to say topic of another podcast because it's the topic of this podcast.
It is.
So
I happen to be at the one in DC. And which one did you go to?
I was in Burlington, Vermont. So Vermont is a state.
I have no idea where. Well, I know where Vermont is, but
so, yeah.
I have no idea where Burlington is in Vermont. I'm guessing north? There's a lot of white people there.
It was all white people.
Is that wrong?
Like it was. I mean, like I'm pretty sure. it was all
that
white
is people. We will dive into that. That was a call forward. So we will dive into that in a little bit here. But yeah, so we both went to. I went to the one in DC. You went to the one in wherever Stan, Vermont.
Whatever. Yeah.
And I will admit, I was pretty apprehensive about going. Mm-hmm. I didn't really talk about it much on the page. Like, I gave it a couple of shares, but I wasn't really all that excited about it. I'm not excited about anything ever.
Well, yeah. So why is this any different? But yes. Yeah, you weren't super right. stoked about it. Yeah.
And I even went into it. I did a bunch of interviews. I'm going to have hopefully have a video out later this week about it. Probably hopefully by Thursday, if not Friday, but just talking to people that were there, just kind of seeing how they felt about various issues, GMOs, vaccines, nuclear energy, things like that. And for as much concern that I had and as much criticism that I read going into it, I was pleasantly surprised by almost everybody's responses that I talked to. And it was not at all what I expected. Everything was very positive. Everybody, everybody had very rational views on everything. And even the people who were, we'll say, uncomfortable, it was about the, not about the technology, but about the individuals doing it and how they're doing it and things like that, which, I mean, that's a topic of another conversation, but the actual discussion about the technology itself, like, that wasn't an issue. And then the, I mean, of course, there's some people there that had, the pussy hats or some like Trump signs, but they were by far, in a way, the minority amount of people there doing that kind of, whatever you want to call it, partisanship and talking about those type of issues. Everybody, at least at the DC march, everybody there was just focused on, science, task at hand, and everything like that. And so it was, except for the rain that happened all day in DC, it was just a really positive experience for me. And that's not at all what I was expecting. I mean, how was it in wherever
in that
Vermont,
place, that cold, rainy place, Burlington. Yeah. So actually the weather was pretty shitty to start. Like, as soon as we got there, it was raining, and I was like, oh fuck. But then it got a little better. But now, so I was curious. I wanted to know from you, and you already answered my question, how it was in DC as far as like political signs or like that kind of message. Like, Vermont definitely, I mean, saw a good amount of like kind of signage and stuff that was Trump directed, like, which was not surprising, like, super liberal state. Like, I agree, but I definitely think saw more Trump related signs than I expected. I was, I guess, expecting a little bit more in the sciencey vein, but I was also, I will say, one place I was pleasantly surprised is that I was stereotyping Vermont and expecting it to be a little bit more wooey, and I was expecting to see, I think, more, maybe some like anti-GMO or like that kind of stuff being presented. But other than a few people who were holding signs that said like, watch the movie Cowspiracy, like one of those kind of like propaganda-ish films.
Right.
It was like, the vibe was super chill. People were positive and happy. Lots of families. That was something that made me happy. Seeing lots of kids there with their parents and like kids with their homemade signs, and like that it was just a positive, like, we're here for science and reason and critical thinking and like being good to our planet and all, like, all that kind of messaging. I did, though, I represented your brand with the slogan, the sign about like, vaccines work, GMOs are safe, everything's a chemical. I did have one dude come up to me and he was like, so are you trying to force vaccines on everybody?
Yes.
And I'm like,
that's exactly what's like, happening. Thank you.
I was
like, that's such an intelligent question.
Here's my needle right now. Let me just force a vaccine on you, dude. And then,
needle right now. That's the topic of another podcast.
And so the funny thing is, like, this is as like the march is starting and we're actually walking and he's trying to have this conversation with me. And it's just like, it was just it was just a weird conversation, and I kind of was just trying to be nice and talking to him. And then he's like, well, do you have children? I'm like, yep. Like, yeah.
Not that it's any of your business.
And he's like, do you vaccinate them? I was like, I wanted to be like, of fucking course I do. But I was just like, yes, I do. And then I just kind of kept walking. And yeah, it was strange. Because he was like, yeah, I know they work. I know they work. But you're trying to force them on everybody. I'm like, well, dude, I'm not trying to force them on people who can't, like, get vaccinated. But we're vaccinating people for the people who can't get vaccinated, all this stuff, whatever. But yeah, so overall, super positive. But just a few, couple weird interactions there. Because people are weird. And so
yeah, the only,
it's bound to happen.
The only, I guess, negative interactions I had with anybody were people that weren't actually part of the march itself. There's just, I don't even know what, it was, we'll say pro-birther, that was there. And, of course, just trying to be in a hog attention and just basically letting everybody know how awful we are. Because apparently, and I never got a chance to talk to him. I tried to interview him, but he just, like, I had my camera out ready to go on the tripod. Like, I'm, like, waiting for him to, like, he put his, like, blowhorn, whatever thing down. And I was like, oh, I'm going to ask this guy. Because he kept saying, like, the science is pro-abortion. I don't remember exactly what it was. I recorded him saying it. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But just kept repeating that and never really expanded on that, or like explains, you know, why. So and then and then afterwards, when we got to it ended at the Capitol building, there was a big sign there with a guy with a big sign that said, like, expose pedos, hashtag Pizzagate. So I talked to him. I did a live video of me talking
did
to
he,
him.
Did he, like, get lost on his way somewhere else?
I think it was just happenstance that he was there. I don't think he was there too because of the Science March. He didn't talk to me at all about it. He was very focused on himself.
Pizzagate.
Well, not even – I asked him. I started – by asking, oh, well, no, I went up to the guy because he was talking to two other people there, one with a Make America Great Again hat with an Guy Fawkes, like, anonymous mask, like, safety pin to her backpack, and then the guy with the big sign. I walked up to, like, the three of them all talking with my camera, and it was like, hey, I'm shooting, you know, some interviews with people. Would you like to talk to me on camera? And they just turned and, like, ran away, didn't run, but walked very quickly away. And this other guy is like, yeah, absolutely. But start talking to him. And it's just, like, his tangents had tangents, and then those had tangents, and, like, none of it made any goddamn sense. And he said Richard Hawking's probably five times, not Hawking's, Stephen Hawking's, referring to Stephen, like, Hawking. And I was just like, you were, that's not a mispronunciation. You're, like, you just are on that level. Good for you. Okay. But, yeah, so that was a fun conversation that you can watch there. But going back to something that we kind of talked about at the very onset of this, we talked about people who had concerns for the March for Science. There's a lot of concern that it was going to be hijacked by what people call social justice warriors, or, you know, it would turn partisan and yada, yada, yada. And there's one article in particular on Slate, and I forget who it was written by, Jeremy Samuel Faust. And I don't know this guy. I don't know what he's written before, but bless his heart, he did not go to a science march, yet starts it out saying, thanks to the app Periscope, I attended half a dozen of them from the comfort of my apartment, thereby minimizing my carbon footprints. Like, you are being a fucking sarcastic asshole at this point, so I already am not impressed. But essentially, he goes into just this weird rant about how being pro-science has become a bizarre cultural phenomenon in which liberals engage in public displays of self-reckoned intelligence as a kind of performance art. And to that effect, like, I don't necessarily disagree with that. It's not, because it's easy for people to say, I fucking love science, or, you know, whatever, you know, vaccines work, GMOs are safe, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But it's not, that's so, like, far removed from the actual point, and not at all what the goal is here. It's to get people talking about it, to get people active, people actually engaging in these conversations and promoting science. The way I explained it to somebody before I went, like why, you know, I'm not in love with the idea of it, but I'm still advocating for it and this is talking about the march, was if you have like a big pile of, say you got a big pile of toys and you're trying to put them in a toy box, you can either take them one at a time to the toy box, or you can just kind of slowly kind of nudge the whole pile over. And I view something like this as kind of just slowly nudging the whole pile over, getting like everybody kind of closer to, you know, where we want to be as far as promoting, you know, logic and reason and things like that. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it being a little populist. Like, I mean, obviously, if you look at my page, I'm okay with that. But I don't see how that's a bad thing to get people excited and talking about science and advocating for science and making decisions and policy based on evidence.
Well, and that's, and the thing too is that like anything like this, it's not an overnight change. It's right. It's getting people engaged and interested and just finding ways to, like, you know, hook them. And so, okay, there were all of these marches and people turned up and people, like, people brought their families. People behaved in mostly, I would think, like, across the board, a pretty positive way. Mm-hmm. And so if this is a step in the right direction, like, I'm all for that. I mean, there's definitely things, like, in reading that article that I agree with. Like, just latching on to the, like, I fucking love science idea, but then, like, having this mixture of, like, weird clickbaity bullshit and, like, calling things science when, you know, it's a little shaky. That's one thing, but, like, I'm not going to diss the whole weekend in terms of what it did in bringing science just out there to be talked about. I mean, right. People turned up in the rain and, like, were there advocating for reason and critical thinking. And so, you know, we're not going to change, like, the tide on everything. You know, people like anti-GMO activists in Hawaii are not going to wake up tomorrow and say, biotechnology, like, save the papaya, like, on our
right.
like island. But, like, that's not going to happen tomorrow. But if this discussion can, you know, continue, if the marches were a starting point, like, I'll take it. And I'm not gonna criticize it as a movement because it's at least something.
Right. And he seems to conflate like what I fucking love science does with like the science march, which I know they posted about it. I don't know of any official like crossover that they had together. And yeah, like the criticism of that is absolutely valid. I mean, we've kind of posted and talked about that extensively, but I even have a page dedicated to making fun of them say making fun. We are pointing out times that they do things that they ought not to, but
yes.
That's not happening with this. And you, of course, you're going to run into situations like that. But this is just kind of an example of people never being satisfied with how you're doing activism. I mean, I know you've encountered that tone trolling. I've absolutely encountered that. And I mean, we've lost friends, like literally lost like friends that are like also in kind of science advocacy over our tone and how we present information to people. And the fact is we need all these different types of voices. And I don't understand why, like how this person who doesn't even like bother. I'm sure, I don't know where he lives. I'm sure there was a march somewhere nearby that he could have gone to and checked out and actually seen and, you know, maybe actually talk to people, which is kind of the whole fucking point of it, is you talk to people. But I guess it's just a lot easier to sit in your recliner in your apartment, look at some Twitter feeds and go, okay, well, I know what's happening here just by what somebody posts on Twitter. I mean, you can do that if you want.
Well, and that's why, like, today, like after, you know, like I was reading that the article on Slate, and then I posted on my Facebook page, like, you know, just asking, because we share a lot of friends on Facebook, you know, in the like, you know, science, secular world, whatever. So I just put a post that said, you know, like, friends who actually attended science marches, what were your impressions? And like, what do you see as the next step in this movement? But just reading, like, people actually were really, really thoughtful in their responses. And it seems like people who went to these marches felt positively, like, just generally speaking. Like, I mean, some people that wrote, like, they actually spoke at marches, like Allison Bernstein. She runs the Mommy PhD Facebook page, and mm-hmm. she's in my Science Moms film. She spoke in Atlanta. And I mean, I knew from the day, you know, from Saturday, just watching her on social media, that it would, like, it seemed like a really awesome day. We'll link to her, like, text of her speech in our show notes. But she just said, like, the organizers were awesome. They didn't censor any topics. Like, she talked about, you know, vaccines and GMOs and alternative medicine. And, like, she was able to talk about all this stuff. There were families there. It was a positive day. Like, this seems to be generally the impression that people had of their marches. Then there was Hawaii.
People who actually went.
Yeah, people who actually went to these marches, went, participated, all that stuff. Like, our Jeff, who's a patron and friend of the show, he was in Pittsburgh repping, you know, the atheists in Pittsburgh. And he had a table and stuff. And, like, you know, just seemed like the vibe was pretty good all around. And, yeah, but then we got some comments from Joni Kamiya, who spoke in Hawaii.
Yeah, and I thought that was just disappointing. I mean, for those that may not be aware of Hawaii, it is a island. Some think it's a different nation and that you need a passport. It's, I believe, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And I don't know. I don't know anything else about it.
Yeah, it's a place. I've never been there. It looks really pretty, but,
right, like,
but you know what, though?
It has, like, everything. It has, like, you can go to the ocean. You can also, like, trail run or hike. And it has, like, everything you can possibly do. Is where I want to go there so bad. Please, like, more patrons, please give us a dollar so we can achieve our goals of not doing anything ever again. And
going to Hawaii.
Going to Hawaii.
We'll live there.
The papaya almost just, like, went away, and through genetic engineering they were able to basically save the papaya and save, because, you know, they grow a lot of it there. But it's kind of become this, like, weird, like, ground zero for, like, the anti-GMO debate, because they're now reliant, or the papaya farmers, I guess, are reliant on you know, GE papaya, and for some reason they don't. Like, I don't know. I don't understand the logic behind this.
Well, I don't know that there. Well, I
could
don't
it be because
there
there's
is
no logic?
I don't. Right. I don't think that there's logic, and in any thought process for them is based obviously in misinformation and fear. Mm-hmm. And so, so Joni Kamiya, whose family runs the Kamiya Papaya farm out in Hawaii, she spoke at the March for Science there. Joni had gone through the Cornell Alliance for Science program to advocate and communicate about science and agriculture and all of that. And she put a picture on my Facebook post, you know, essentially with, while she's speaking, people standing in front of her with signs, like, I think attacking what, like, corporate interests in, like,
right,
GMOs and science and all of that. And I mean, this is something that and we're going to get her on the show to do an episode with us where Joni actually can tell her story, which is, I mean, it's fascinating, and, like, it drives me crazy because this is actually happening. Like, that she receives, and her family and any advocates for biotech out there receive a lot of criticism. And so to think that a march for science, which saved a major crop in this state, is being met with, like, protest.
Resistance.
It's ridiculous. So this is where we kind of get to this idea of science. Like, science isn't something that you pick and choose what you like and what fits with your, like, personal worldview. right?
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, people that are at the March for Science that are, you know, advocating against and protesting genetic engineering, like, doesn't totally make
right.
sense.
And that's not, because I heard from a few people where they had, you know, some pushback or resistance regarding specifically GMOs. And mm-hmm. like I said, like that's, I can understand that. I can meet you like somewhere where, you know, we're worried about, you know, if we're concerned about Monsanto having, you know, however much, I think it's like 40% of the seed market in the U.S. Like, if we're worried about that, like, I understand that concern. I'm slightly concerned about that, but also we have 60% that they don't have. So, and if they're that bad, farmers aren't going to buy from them. If they have a bad product, if they have a product that's not growing, a farmer is not going to go back to them to buy that. So you're calling farmers stupid if you do go, you know, if you honestly think they're going to be able to get seeds from somewhere else, or don't think that they have that option available to them.
So that's like, I'm kind of just scrolling through seeing some of the other like friends' impressions of marches and stuff. And one thing that came up in a comment that Matthew Fasciani made, mm-hmm. he was in South Carolina. And so
friend
he
of the
went
show.
To march at friend of the show, Matthew Fasciani, the good Matthew, the one that we mutually like.
Yeah.
So he said South Carolina, great group of people and was encouraging, which awesome. But then, so here's where he had mixed feelings. And so he's in the South, right? So he said he had mixed feelings about the speeches trying to combine religion and science. And he says, I get trying to work together as there are lots of religious scientists who can talk to their congregations about science, but it still makes me feel uneasy. And like, I feel him on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
It's
what
not,
do you think?
Yeah, it's not the place to talk about that. I mean, what do I think about religion?
Yeah.
Well, how much time do you have? But
all day. Like, let's just go hours. We have 8 hours on YouTube, something like that.
Right.
Let's
yeah,
go.
We have up to 8 hours.
Marathon.
Right. But yeah, it's not the place for that. Just like it's not the place. I saw, you know, a few Trump signs, and every time I like, even my local march that, of course, I didn't actually go to myself because mm-hmm. I was being primetime in D.C., but they posted pictures of some Trump signs. Like, somebody had a Trump flag with, like a in, like, the Russian mm-hmm. colors with a little, like, hammer and sickle on it. Like, that's – I wish they hadn't posted that, but also I guess that'd be censorship or of some kind, or somebody would be offended. But that's – yeah, that by far was not – you know, not the main message from anybody. And you're going to have outliers. Like, any group is going to have extremists like that. It's going to have, you're going to have outliers like that. So I'm not too terribly concerned about that, as long as the message, you know, by the majority, which in my experience, I actually went to what I imagine had to be the largest march, since it was like the actual main march, the actual official, like,
yeah,
the message, the speakers before we, the Bill Nye, Cara Santa Maria, I forget his name, the guy that does the Veritasium YouTube channel, and others, all very positive, all very focused on science advocacy, science, you know, having evidence-based policy, things like that. None of, you know, any of that kind of nonsense, about, you know, partisan nonsense, rather, about
yeah.
that. So, and you're going to, yeah, and like I said, you're going to have that when you get to these smaller cities, especially in Burlington, whatever, Stan. We're gonna have like so many angry emails from our like one.
All of our Vermont listeners are just gonna like be like, fuck you guys.
They're
we're
going
done.
Typing up a seething tweet right now. I can hear them furiously typing. But yeah, so like, the further away you get from like central organization, you're gonna have that kind of deviation from the message. And as long as they stay away from like the kind of more like social justice warrior-y stuff, because that's not, you know, that's an important conversation to have. But when we're talking about making policies based on evidence, that's not the conversation to have. Whenever we add in things like like the interview that I had near the end of the march, where they had, I don't know how many people, but probably 8 or 9 people. It was actually a group from Michigan, with a sign that said "Decolonize Science." I talked to her, and their whole message was they like science was invented and controlled by white men throughout history, and has been used against minority groups and groups at a disadvantage in their socioeconomic status. And yeah, that's true. I mean, obviously that's happened. The same people have also benefited a lot from science. And so I feel like that's a I haven't figured out the right phrase to use for it yet or the right description, but it feels more like kind of a hipster-ish, like bullshitty type of, well, but actually, or, you know, but also, like, don't forget about me, guys, and type, or I have a complaint here and I'm so smart, look at me, because I'm virtue signaling over here. And I don't feel like that's coming from a genuine place. I don't feel like that complaint carries any weight. Because yeah, some bad shit has been done, but that bad shit was done by bad people. The overwhelming majority of things that science has brought us have been good. Bad people are going to do bad things. It's like blaming a hammer for murdering somebody. Well, that hammer didn't do anything. The person who like bashed the skull in with a hammer is the asshole that we should be angry at, and that's the person we should be protesting. But also, I'm mansplaining now at this point, I guess. So,
well, no, but I think. Good points there. And I think this is the kind of thing, though, where anytime there's a big event like this or the desire to have a movement towards positive change, people will look to criticize it. You know,
and that's fine. I have no problem with criticism.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like our whole thing is that's the whole thing behind science is constantly trying to prove itself wrong and then updating itself when we have new information. Yeah. But when you're saying, well, she actually said to me, and this is going to be in the absolutely in the video that I post later this week, she actually says, well, scientists need to be more active in increasing awareness and in making decisions and policy making, and it's like, well, that's like the whole fucking point of like why we're here. But you're like, so it's like you're trying to put your feet on both sides of the issue and then saying, well, I'm pro science, but also science has been bad, so like I'm against science, but like I'm pro science. And it's like you're not presenting a very genuine argument. And she was so nervous to talk to me, and I was being so friendly to her because I mean that's the kind of environment that it was a very friendly environment. Didn't want to be a dick to anybody, which is hard for me to do. I really had to try, but no, it was, I mean, she was so nervous, and I felt bad, and I didn't want to like push her too hard because she was like almost shaking, but it didn't make any sense to me. And I wish I would have had more time with her, or like even like the group of people that she was with to kind of dive into that more. Because I felt like the questions I had for her and the point she was making weren't really that well supported. I even asked her just in general about anything to do with science, skepticism, any sort of policy, anything outside of like the cause that they were there to represent, like just about her personal feelings about what something that just kind of digs at her, bothers her. Like to me, I'd have to say like anti-vaxxers like really like piss me off.
Yeah.
And you know, outside of that, you know, obviously religion, but she had nothing. She had nothing. It was, well, the, you know, white people basically. That's like bad paraphrasing, but it just didn't feel like it was genuine. It didn't feel like there was much thought behind it other than I should feel bad, about what science has done to some people, and I don't know.
Not a well-substantiated argument, felt that there needed to be an argument, but just didn't have the legs to it. And
right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just like the way that some people, I think, approach, well,
life.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Now, you know, like the march happened, right? So I think overall, the attitude towards it, the experience people had at it or at them, you know, the marches, was positive. So then for me, the question surrounding something like this always is, well, what's next? Or how, like, is there a way to capture momentum?
We're making this like a compliment sandwich, and I love it.
So like, what do you think? What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's every I shouldn't say every city. I know my city, we have an organization here. It's called Central Indiana Science Outreach, or CINSO. And, you know, that groups like that, like on the local level, you have to promote them and have to get involved with them, or CFI, or, you know, even just you can even just go on like meetup.com or, you know, whatever websites there are out there to, you know, you can start a group if there's not one. I mean, just hang out with people. You can just start your own club, start like, even like amongst your friends, you can start a group where you just talk about, you know, science skepticism or just, you know, just whatever, but just keep the conversation going. That is the important thing. And that's another concern that we had before. And I think, you know, they're doing the March for Science crew, I think they're doing a good job now, with keeping that going and trying to encourage that, because I think they're still having or they're calling it this week like the week of action, and I'm on their website now, and even has you know, things to do and you know, sign this, you know, go to this website, check this out, and continue involvement, and they even have other links to other ways to get involved there. I think that's really what matters, what's important, and what the entire goal was, is to get people, you know, excited about it, get people talking about it, and get people to get active in whatever capacity they can, as you know, maybe start a blog, maybe start a group, or maybe just follow more blogs and just read a couple more science articles a week. I mean, whatever it is, I mean, that's a net positive. Like, how can anybody complain with that? We have people, at least they're interested in it, as opposed to beforehand where they, you know, maybe didn't care or just would read, you know, a clickbaity type headline that, you know, we've cured cancer this week for like the 500th time, and it ends up being bullshit because it was a trial study or some other type of nonsense, or one of the 107 that got unpublished. But again, topic of another podcast that we'll try to cover next week, since that's the story that broke today.
So I guess for me, what I would add to that, based on what I observed myself, like, at, you know, in Vermont at the march I attended, but then the feedback that other people have given, just, you know, like friends on my post and stuff, is that I think it turned into a little bit more than people expected, an actual like sort of family event where people were sharing this idea of science and critical thinking with their kids. And so I think this is not just an idea for us to embrace as adults, but I think it's important for us to remember that we are kind of responsible for raising the next generation of critical thinkers to do better than, I mean, this, you know, current world that elected Donald Trump.
You set the bar
Trump
as low as me, though. There's not much to.
We can only go up from here. But I do think that it's something to remember. Like, somebody on my post wrote just a really nice comment that, like, she had her daughter with her at the DC march, and, you know, she gets that there's criticism, whatever, but she wrote, "My daughter was in total awe of the real life scientists speaking on the stage. All the naysayers should try viewing the march from a child's eyes." So let's end it on that. Think positively.
Show up in the first place. It's like, literally, you're being an armchair activist.
So science march. Helping. Thank you to everybody who supported that and continues to support critical thinking. So you're part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Not part of the precipitate. Oh,
get
it? Oh, it's funny.
All right. So why do we love the internet this week?
Well, we got to do in post. We're going to add the music. Mm-hmm. Should we do music?
Yeah,
I don't think so. This is all kind of flowing.
I don't know.
We don't want to bring it up. People like the music.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe the amount of feedback I get on the music. It says it's the best. It's the greatest. It's the best.
Bigly.
This week, the reason we love the internet is, I don't know why we haven't done this one sooner.
Me neither. I don't know either. Nathan mentioned it. What was that? Last week or something. Then we ended up liking loving the internet because Ken Ham made us love our lives and the internet.
Loved my life.
Yeah, I shelved classical art memes for this week. So now we're finally talking about it. But like, I mean, I have like I save these to my phone on a regular basis because they're just so fucking good. And whoever thought of this is a genius, and I wish I was them. So everyone who's listening knows classical art memes. Like, can you imagine somebody listening to this and doesn't, and they don't know?
Yeah, even if you've seen any sort of classical art with meme text on it, it's safe to assume it came from this page because they post so often, and almost every time are very on point.
Like, I know, like it's one of those that just they rarely miss, and so it's so good. Like, I'm just, all right, I'm
like
scrolling.
Jesus with the apostles. It's Jesus standing on one side, the apostles standing on the other, and they're just all saying sup to one another.
Like, yeah, I love that one.
And that has 30,000 shares. That's amazing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, because that's the thing. It's like everybody fucking follows us. Oh, so then here's another Jesus one. And it's like he's coming out of the tomb or whatever. And it says, when you passed out during pregame but show up at the party later. And it's just like, he's like, hey, I'm here.
He's like, hey.
That's it. Oh, okay. Here's one of a family. It's like a mom holding a baby, but yet the baby looks like it's fucking like 50 years old in the face. But then there's just all kids around or something. And it says, when the family photo comes out beautifully, but you're all very apathetic about what the future holds. Because then it like zooms in on the faces and they all just look like, meh. You know, as people did in classical art photos. But seriously, the baby looks like it's got the face of like a 50-year-old. Oh, I love it. And like the thing is too, whenever I go to classical art memes, it's like all of our friends like follow and like these posts. Cause like, here's one I've like, it's Jesus again, and it's coming out of my cave and I've been doing just fine. You know, like the killer song, but I see that Emily has liked it. Buck has liked it. Oh, I tagged Matt O'Neill in it because I thought he should share it for God's sake. So this is just the meme page that everybody follows. And half
the term is that some of these are just really random and weird. Like, it's a mother like sewing, and then like a 3-year-old like learning to sew, and the mother's like watching her, and it's like, well, that's a good picture, but like somebody spent like a lot of time like painting that like originally.
Yep.
And I'm probably gonna get, I'm gonna have the, you know, all the art critics mad at me because we have a huge art critic following. I don't know if
we
you
do
know that,
it's Natalie. It's our biggest demographic, art critics that live in Vermont, I think.
Right.
The Vermont art critics are just, they're unfollowing us after this. So go
and
drown your sorrows in maple syrup.
Yeah. The kid says, mommy, am I your best friend? And the mother says, no, LOL, my friends are cool. Like, but like, I mean, so it's just works on so many levels.
Do you want to pick one to end it on?
I don't have one to end it on.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm just scrolling. Oh,
well, okay, here's one.
You do it.
Yeah, got like a couple like together. Obviously, they are. He's like, looks like he's trying to like either kiss her or eat her eyeball. I'm not sure which one. Why not both? It says, "Are you an archaeologist? Because I have a bone for you to examine." And she responds, "Sorry, I leave my microscope at the lab."
Ooh.
So that's
science.
That's a good zinger. That's a good burn. Speaking of good burns, if you have too much money and you like giving people money, why not give us money at patreon.com/TSEpodcast, and you can get access to like all sorts of stuff. I mean, Natalie says stuff, I say stuff, we both say stuff, we post stuff.
Yeah.
We say things stuff. Happen.
Mm-hmm. Stuff. And we say it's stuff. All for stuff.
But if you don't want to like see that extra stuff that we
get
say at the place, and I mean, you don't have to, just it'd be really cool if you just told your friends about us, and because that's how we grow, that's how we get more listeners, it's how, you know, we keep doing this, and we keep the lights on around here. I mean, I'm not in danger of getting evicted from my home, but I mean, you can't prove I'm not, I guess. But if you want to be cool, just like Michael and Trevor and Nathan and Alice and Cynthia and Michael and Michael and Magnus and Sav, Hannah, Felix, Amanda, Chris, James, Sarah, and Josue, we would be incredibly grateful. You could also check out all our episodes at scienceenthusiastpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, angry tweets at NC Newell. And did I hit everything? I don't know. I was just kind of...
I think you
podcast
hit it all,
at a scienceenthusiast.com right? for your hate mail. There we go. See? Yeah, why do we even write things down? Why don't you hit us
I
with
don't know, because...
Let's close
right.
this out. In this,
let's
in this
close it
wreck.
Out. I mean, yeah. Extinction is the rule. Survival is the exception. Carl Sagan. That worked for the March for Science. That, you know, our podcast terrorist put that on his sign. People liked it because everyone likes Carl Sagan.
And everybody likes extinction. Wait, what?
Yeah. What? No. All right, so next week, come back and listen to us, because you won't just have to listen to us.
Or don't.
Week.
You have full body autonomy as far
they
as
do.
What you put in your head.
They have ear. What would it be for
ear
auditory
holes.
Autonomy?
I don't that know that it's
thing?
Not.
So it'll just make it a thing. So next week we will have our interview with Neil Carter. Awesome interview. So you guys should come back and check it out. Maybe or not. But he's
I mean,
he's really
again,
good.
I'm
he's
not your dad.
He's, no, you're not their dad.
But,
I'm
yeah,
not
we did
their
the
mom.
Interview. You can check it out on YouTube already. It was a really good talk.
It was a really good talk. Like,
I was there. I enjoyed it.
It was really good. And actually, next week I think is going to be like Neil Carter on podcast week, because he's going to be on the For God's Sake podcast too, because he recorded an interview with Matt. So Neil Carter is just going to be in everybody's ear holes.
All right.
So all right. We'll end on that.
Innuendo. I don't see anything wrong with the good old fashioned circle jerk, though.
There's nothing wrong with the good old fashioned circle jerk.
The music you heard tonight was written and performed by Adam Johnson and was used with his permission. You can contact Adam at adamjohnsondc@gmail.com. This podcast is property of Not Narrow or Straight, LLC, all rights reserved.